Friends, it really is time for a revolution, a Jesus kind of revolution. And one thing about this revolution, it won't wait. It can't wait.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was back in the days of the counterculture revolution that a song came out called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. I began to think of that song some years back and thought, you know, I'd rather say it like this. The revolution will not be trivialized. The Jesus kind of revolution of which we speak, the Jesus kind of revolution in which God's people radically change, bring radical change to the society. Not using human weapons, not fighting with anger, not based on rebellion, not moved by hatred. Not using intimidation or force, but following the principles of Jesus, that we being transformed, bring transformation to our society. That kind of revolution cannot be trivialized. And let me tell you this, that kind of revolution cannot wait any longer. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on what is a special and important broadcast on The Line of Fire, a broadcast where we're really going to lay out our heart, our burden, our vision, and how together we can make a difference and share some things happening of great importance, perhaps in cities right where you live. If you want to join in the conversation, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, the website is askdrbrown.org or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. You have heard me. If you've listened to this broadcast, talk about the concept of Jesus' revolution. Again, I do not see Jesus primarily as just a religious leader who came into the world to introduce a lovely home and garden religion called Christianity so we can have beautiful Sunday meetings and build beautiful buildings and have beautiful choirs, although it's fine to have a beautiful building and a Sunday meeting and a beautiful choir. No, Jesus came to bring God's kingdom. He taught us to pray radical prayers like, "Your will be done on earth, Lord, your kingdom come." In other words, out with the old, in with the new. Jesus was all about radical, dramatic, sweeping change through the gospel, through the power of the Spirit, through his death, through his resurrection. And the Great Commission, go and make disciples of the nations by the authority of Jesus. The Great Commission is really a call to go and change the world together. So I burn with this vision. I do not simply believe in getting someone to pray a prayer and we accumulate numbers of people who've prayed prayers. Rather, we are called to go and make disciples. And that means that we reproduce Jesus in people's lives. That means that we reproduce being salt and light in the society. That means that we bring God's word. We are his ambassadors. We live this thing out, not only in our church buildings, not only in our home Bible studies, but 24/7 living this out in society. It does mean conflict. It does mean confrontation. It does mean misunderstanding. It does mean going against the grain. It does mean swimming against the tide. And there are times and seasons where we must understand what's happening in the society. Like the sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32, part of David's army, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. What time is it? What is it that we must stand for today? Where is it that we must act? I was talking to a pastor in California, a man with a great heart for the Lord and a great heart to be a world changer, an old friend of mine, talking to him about meetings we were going to schedule for later in the year, and he wanted to gather large numbers of Christian leaders for me to share with them about issues relative to homosexuality, our love for the homosexual community, but our resistance to gay activism. And he said, look, maybe we can, we'll have meetings. You know, we had some smaller ones last time with leaders. We'll get a larger number of leaders. We'll share what's happening with them. And then we'll set up some meetings for next year and what, maybe have a campus debate or something. I said, man, it's too late for that. In other words, it's not time to just be informing. People should know by now. Many do know. And yet we are drawing back. Why? Why is it we have lost much of our moral courage? Stay tuned.
The It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The next 3 days broadcast, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, should really be impacting, life-changing for you. So really want to encourage you to tune in daily. If you miss any of the broadcast, you can catch up later at AskDrBrown.org by clicking on The Line of Fire. I'm going to be joined in a few minutes by Bishop Joe Matera, who's been involved in some very, very important and strategic issues in New York State and New York City these days. This is all going to make more and more sense to you. If you'd like to weigh in, if you want to bring a word of affirmation or encouragement, or if you differ with me and want to challenge what we stand for, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, online, AskDrBrown.org. All right. I find myself in a very interesting situation these days, and the radio broadcast, The Line of Fire, is one of the key places where I can share my heart. In fact, it is the number one place on a daily basis where I can share my heart with the maximum number of people so that together we can make a difference. I want to say honestly, it's time for a real serious gut check. It's time for a real serious gut check. It's time for us to really look down deep and ask some serious questions and come to some serious answers, all right? Just about every day of the week, we're being told two things by mainstream media, by other forces, voices that are out there. I don't mean it's all conspiratorial. I mean that this is how a broad consensus of people is feeling, and this is how many media leaders are feeling. We're hearing this just about every day of the week from one angle or another. Look, conservative Christians, Bible-believing Christians, those who held to biblical values, a lot of them were on the wrong side of slavery. They were supporting slavery. They supported segregation. They were on the wrong side of women's rights, and they're on the wrong side of gay rights issues today. Look, we're hearing this continually. I'm reading the articles in USA Today and hearing the reports on CNN and looking at the latest religious group standing for this and the latest political statement standing for this. We're being told this continually. You're on the wrong side of history. You're on the wrong side of slavery. You're on the wrong side of segregation. Come on. Some respected evangelical Christian leaders whose names we all know were on the wrong side of the segregation issue. Some famous Christian leaders in the 1800s were on the wrong side of the slavery issue. Other Christian leaders were on the wrong side of issues having to do with women's rights. Aren't we on the wrong side of the gay rights issue today? Aren't we once again holding to old-fashioned, outmoded views and wrong interpretations because of which we are now oppressing another group of people? We're told this just about every day of the week, and we're also told it's the battle's been decided, the battle's been won, it's too late. Capitulate. Give up. Why do any more harm? Why bring any more dishonor to the reputation of the Lord? Quit while you are ahead. In other words, if we continue to argue that homosexual practice is sinful or that same-sex couples should not have the right to marry, but we'll soon be consigned to the dung heap of public opinion and we'll join past generations of slave traders and women haters and members of the KKK, that's how we're going to be viewed. Look, as I wrote the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, worked on it over a six-year period, as I interacted with as many people as I could from all sides of the issue, I'd hear that more and more and more. Buddy, it's too late. You're crazy. You're beating a dead horse. Plus, you're wrong. Society has evolved. We understand that there are wrong views of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Society has evolved. We now understand things better. All of these stereotype views, they're gone, and people understand the Bible better. So give it up while you have the chance. I mean, on a regular basis, I'll get blasted. Somebody on a website will review the book or talk about it and say, yeah, look, Brown has the right to believe what he believes, just like the skinheads, the Nazi skinheads, just like the KKK and the white supremacist people. That's the same class they're in. Look, let's just understand the situation in which we find ourselves today, okay? And I want to say this plainly. As I've worked on these issues and addressed these issues over these last six, 7 years, I've developed a greater love for the homosexual community than I ever had. and a greater sympathy for the struggles that, that many have that are religious and want to please God and yet find same-sex attraction. And I've gained a greater understanding of struggles that people go through who identify as transgender. So my differences are with activism and rewriting morality and with the goals of gay activism. My love and solidarity is with the people, even though to them they'd say that's not the kind of love they care for or want. So let's just remind ourselves where we are today. For the third straight year, our president has declared June to be Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month, also commemorating the Stonewall riots of June 69. Right now in New York, and we'll hear more about this in a moment, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the latter using his personal funds, they're making an aggressive attempt to legalize same-sex marriage now in New York. Can you imagine the implications of that if New York State legalizes same-sex marriage? One of the country's most prestigious law firms, King & Spalding, dropped the United States government, the House of Representatives, as its client when it came under pressure from gay activists after agreeing to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. Media outlets have been praising students of a Florida high school for selecting a cross-dressing teenage boy as their prom queen. This is considered to be a wonderful thing to celebrate. Major League Baseball teams have now joined the It Gets Better campaign, designed to encourage gay and lesbian youth and teenagers in their sexual orientation. And It Gets Better commercials, sponsored by Google and even featuring a word of encouragement from Pixar's Woody of Toy Story fame, have been broadcast during NBA playoffs. In fact, the president and first lady have now added their own videos to the It Gets Better campaign. Southern Poverty Law Center has designated some of America's most respected family ministries as hate groups because of their alleged spreading of misinformation regarding homosexuality. When a Chick-fil-A store in Pennsylvania donated brownies and sandwiches to a pro-family organization that opposed same-sex marriage, college students began to call for boycotts of Chick-fil-A on their campuses. At the same time, major corporations pour millions of dollars into gay activist organizations and are widely praised for their philanthropy. Look, I was sent an email yesterday by Faith in America. It was forwarded to me. This is an organization based in North Carolina that claims to be Christian that is now pressuring the Southern Baptists to apologize for their mistreatment of homosexual men and women and for teaching that homosexual practice is sinful, and said, hey, look, you apologized for slavery and segregation. High time you apologized for this. And almost every day, another story coming to create sympathy on the side of those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and animosity towards those who say that change is possible, towards those who say that we're holding to biblical morality. We are in a remarkable time, friends. And almost every day, it shifts again more radically. We are in a remarkable moment in which if you simply say, marriage is the union of a man and woman, you can be branded a bigot. Your business can be boycotted. You can come under pressure from associates. It is remarkable. And the stand that we must take, the things that we must do to honor the Lord in prayer, in witness, in godliness, they cannot wait until we get around to it or become convinced. The spiritual moral battle is raging and people's lives really are hanging in the balance. The question is, what are we going to do? The revolution won't wait. So for me, here's the only issue. Here's the only issue. What is right in God's sight? That's the only issue. What is right in God's sight? What do the scriptures actually teach in terms of homosexual practice, in terms of God's plan for marriage, in terms of what is best for society, in terms of what are we asked to do as believers? That's my only question. I'm not concerned about popular opinion. I'm not concerned about being rejected. I'm not concerned about people calling me a bigot or hate-filled or intolerant or a Hitler or a jihadist or a Nazi. If I do what's right, if you do what's right, then opposition, ridicule, hatred is only something that encourages us because we're being treated the way Jesus did. We hurt for the people who attack us, but we care deeply for truth and for righteousness, because of which we don't mind swimming against the tide. We don't mind going against the grain. So it's gut check time. Are we right about what we believe? Are these views true? Does God have a better way? Or is it time for us to throw in the towel? Time for us to quit while we're ahead? Time for us to consolidate our losses and get on with the business of the gospel and leave these other things off and maybe recognize we're on the wrong side of history again? That's the question. Time for gut check. Time for us to ask some serious questions and to come to some serious answers. And when we do, then we stand for what is right, regardless of cost or consequence. I wonder, are you with me? I wonder, are you hearing me today? We're going to get an update, a very important update from New York City momentarily, and then some practical steps that we can take to be world changers.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I have a very simple and clear theme today. The revolution will not wait. The revolution cannot wait. It is time for God's people to stand up and do what is right, regardless of cost and consequences, in the spirit, by the love of Jesus, standing for truth, but not being moved by popular opinion or what is convenient or what the media tells us or what the society tells us is inevitable. Are we going to regain our courage? Are we going to stand up for what is right and true? Or are we going to have to apologize to God and our kids and our grandkids? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm joined now on the line with Bishop Joe Matera. Joe, thanks so much for taking time in the midst of a very intense schedule right now to join us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I appreciate all the work you're doing. And we truly do need Christians to stand up. We need a revolution.
All right, what's happening right now in New York? What happened earlier today? What's happening tomorrow?
Okay, well, tomorrow we have a rally on the steps of New York City Hall. And we're sending a message to the mayor and the governor, sending a rebuttal of their push for same-sex marriage. We have a governor who's living with his girlfriend and an unmarried mayor trying to tell us how we should define marriage. So they're trying to redefine marriage for the rest of the population when they themselves aren't even respected. They're pressuring the state senate, and we just got word from the city room of the New York Times of a secret meeting. 3 o'clock. It will actually take place in 40 minutes between the governor and the speaker, Christine Quinn, of the City Council of New York City, and Senator Tom Duane, some union leaders and gay activists and proponents of same-sex marriage, and they are going to strategize and try to figure out whether or not they have enough votes to bring it to the floor. If they think they have enough votes, it will actually be introduced by the governor to the Senate, possibly the Assembly as well, for a vote maybe by the end of this week. And the governor is saying, the governor's aide, according to this article, is saying that they believe they have enough votes, which we think it's hyperbole. His name is Steve Cohen. That's their expectation. So they've been blowing smoke. They've been using the Daily News every day. New York Times is a little more honest in their reporting, even though they're favoring same-sex marriage. Daily News almost sounds like the National Enquirer, and they're trying to twist and turn every little thing, even repeating old news, to psychologically get people to think that same-sex marriage is inevitable. There are 8 senators right now, 3 supposedly undecided in the Democratic side, Joseph Addabbo from Queens, Senator Shirley Huntley from Queens, and Brooklyn Senator Carl Krueger, and then there's about 5 Republicans that are supposedly undecided, and 8 altogether that can make or break this thing. But now a new New York Times article that came out today states others that are supposedly now on the fence again, like Senator Fishula, I think it is, from Long Island, and some others. But it's like we're in a heavyweight fight right now. There's 2 people in the 15th round fighting for the championship. And, you know, every day it seems like it's swinging one way, it's swinging the other. We've called for a day of fasting and prayer. We have many churches, many leaders fasting and praying today. And we believe in God for a miracle. What we can do is be a prophetic voice, as they did in the Old Testament. The prophets would speak truth to power. They'd speak truth to the kings. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 that God turns the hearts of kings like rivers of water whithersoever he will. And so we're believing God that he's going to have his way, that he's going to turn their hearts. All we can do is speak truth to the kings, to the powers that be, to the political leaders. What happens after that is between God and them. And we could just believe God for his mercy to be extended to stop same-sex marriage. That's what we're doing. The outcome will belong to God, but we have a responsibility to do everything we can, whether it's fasting and prayer, whether it's going to City Hall and speaking and crying out against the injustice of this. We're doing our best here.
All right, so again, tomorrow, tell us what time and where so our listeners can join together.
Okay, well, the rally is going to be at 11:30 a.m. outside of the City Hall gate, and the press conference will be for clergy, bishops and pastors and rabbis, and any clergy can join us that are with us on this issue, and that's going to be at 12 noon on the steps of City Hall, and you'll have to get clearance from myself or somebody else, you know, that we have to know who you are as a clergy, ordained minister of the gospel, and we will clear you to be on the steps, and all non-clergy will be right outside. We have some posters that are pro-marriage posters. We're not allowing anti-gay posters or anti-gay banter. It's all pro-marriage literature, pro-marriage posters. And so there'll be people rallying outside the gate while we are doing the press conference at 12 o'clock on the steps.
And, all right. And we have, Joe, on our website, the names and contact information for crucial senators who are on the fence, for people to call and encourage them to stand up for traditional marriage, to vote against same-sex marriage. And Bishop Matera is going to stay with us just for a couple more minutes on the other side of the break. When we come back, Joe, I want to discuss why this is such a big issue and why the church needs to get involved, make a difference. Friends, I want to strongly encourage you to be with me the next 3 days on the air. Tomorrow I'm going to lay out 10 revolutionary commitments, things that each of us can do to make a difference. And then, God willing, on Wednesday, what the church can learn from the gay and lesbian community is something that'll be a real eye-opener for you. I want to encourage all of you who believe in what we're doing, be sure that you're on our email list. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org, join the email list. Like our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. This way we can keep you in touch with what's happening on a regular basis. Pray about being a torchbearer. Perhaps you can stand with us on a monthly basis, become a torchbearer, help hold our hands up so that we can make a difference. And we now have key leaders in different states who are compiling lists of state legislators, of Christian leaders, of other leaders in different parts of the society, that they will get copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America into their hands. For everyone who sends a gift of $100 to the Line of Fire, we will send five copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America to these different leaders to distribute. Ultimately, we're looking to distribute thousands of them. If you want to stand with us, if you'd like to support us, become a torchbearer or make a donation so that we can send copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America all around the country, get them into key hands, give us a call right now at 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go online to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being with us today. Friends, if there's ever a day we're focused on the commission of Jesus to honor the Lord, speak the truth, be world changers, it is today. Thank you for being with us. My guest, just for another few minutes in the midst of a wildly busy schedule, Bishop Joe Matera. Bishop, why is this issue of same-sex marriage so important? I mean, after all, it doesn't matter in terms of who goes to heaven or hell. It doesn't stop us from evangelizing or the Great Commission. Why are we caring so much about this issue of same-sex marriage?
Well, because it goes against the cultural commission, the original plan and design that God gave humans to bear fruit and multiply, which means to have children. And so it's a one-generational lifestyle that basically goes against the whole family structure. God is called Father, not Apostle, not General, and the whole spirit of Christianity is based on God being our Father, us raising children, and having a generational plan. And then when you have same-sex marriage, you're in essence legalizing a union in which you say that a mother or a father is not necessary to raise a child. And so not only is it have biblical mandates that it's going against, but it also has sociological implications where children are going to be raised without either a mother or a father, and there is a lot of sociological data out there that proves that children of a committed man and a woman in holy matrimony have the best chance of having emotional, physical, and financial well-being in their life. So it's also a major quality of life issue. Last but not least, once same-sex marriage is passed, then they try to enforce it and enforce hate speech, and then our religious liberties would be threatened, and then it could come under the guise of human rights mandates, and look, 5 or 10 years, they may not do it right now, they'll try to take tax-exempt status away, try to stop what we preach from the pulpit, because they'll say it violates human rights, because same-sex marriage is now the norm and legal, and so it's one step away from taking away religious liberties. So if we don't take a stand and stop same-sex marriage, the church is going to be threatened in terms of their legalities and what they can preach.
And when we're hearing unrelentingly from the media, hey, you're on the wrong side of this issue, like just like you're on the wrong side of slavery, and hey, throw in the towel, it's inevitable, you're going to lose anyway, what do you say?
Well, the inevitability lie is being used more than anything else. Demographically, the majority of Americans still are against it. There was the most comprehensive poll ever done through the Alliance Defense Fund in the past week or two, and it's as detailed as a presidential poll, and well over 60% of Americans are against same-sex marriage. That's number one. You know, number two, we have to realize that the 30 states were given the right to vote on this issue, and not one state, when the people had a chance to vote, voted in favor of same-sex marriage. So, if anything, it's inevitable that the country is getting more conservative, and the history is really more on our side. So, it's the cultural elite, it's that are liberal, and the political leaders that make up the minority of our country that are trying to make decisions for the rest of us. And so they're just using an inevitability position just to psychologically wear us down and get the senators and legislators across the nation to legalize something that they want legalized, but not the American people.
Yeah,
I even have New York Giants Super Bowl hero David Tyree standing with us tomorrow, so he'll be on the steps of City Hall.
The miracle catch, the most famous catch in Super Bowl history.
Catch. Well,
yes.
He said,
awesome. Hey, Joe.
We're
out of time. God bless you for what you're doing. The Lord is with you. We are on the side of truth, on God's side. Thank
Amen.
You, sir. Friends, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. If you live in New York, call your senator.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm looking at an article that came out, just a day ago. Fox News, some gay rights foes claim they are now bullied. Oh, yeah. What do you know? And check this out. Evan Wolfson, president of the advocacy group Freedom to Marry, so gay activist, lawyer Evan Wolfson. This is what he says about our side. They lost the argument on gay people, and now they are losing the argument on marriage. Diversions, scare tactics, and this playing the victim are all they have left. How remarkable. Who says the argument was lost? The ones that differed with us from the start. Losing the argument on marriage? How have we lost the argument? Because a poll goes one way or another on a given day, that this is losing argument. But hang on. Diversions? Talking about the issues, this is a diversion? Scare tactics? Talking about things that are actually happening that ought not to be happening? That's scare tactics. And this playing the victim. How amazing that this was a long-term gay strategy that's documented in terms of making it clear that their side, they are the victims, my side, those who oppose gay activism, we are the victimizers. Now that it starts to turn, oh, that's just playing the victim. Come on, Evan. Got to do better than that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to share a bit more of what I've had to work through in my own heart, some of the things I've had to pray through, think through in my own heart. Before I go to the phones, though, you know I've spoken much about The Queer Thing Happened to America, worked on it over a course of 6 years. God provided funds in many unusual ways for us to be able even to produce the book and get it out. A lot of opposition, a lot of difficulty. A conservative publisher told me he'd be an eager reader of the book when it came out. He said, but for him to try to publish it could practically bankrupt his firm. Unreal how much of a hot button issue this is. People don't want to touch. But we are now getting names, lists of hundreds, pastors, key pastors, Christian leaders, legislative leaders, business leaders, others, into whose hands we can sow this book. In other words, we have people who say, hey, I'm going to be speaking to this group. I am connected with this group. I want to get them copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Get the book into their hands. So for every donation that we receive of $100, if you say, I want that to go towards getting these books into people's hands, we will then send 5 copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America for every $100. So the books plus postage, that's $140, $150 worth of books. We'll be sending in your name to these different people, political leaders, Christian leaders, academic leaders, to help spread moral and cultural revolution by awakening the conscience of the nation. If you want to be part of that, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978, or you can do, if you're unable to do all of that and say, hey, I'd just like to buy a book and have it donated, give us the details and we'll do it in your name. 1-800-278-9978. All right, to the phones, Angelia and Houston, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I was basically just calling to encourage you to stay strong in your belief. And,
well, thank you.
I just believe that as Christians, you know, unless we're in the Word every day, we're not going to have the strength to stand up and support God, because in 2 Corinthians 6:1, it says that we need His grace to influence our souls, turning them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Mm-hmm. So we have to be in the Word every day so that the Word can influence our souls to do what God wants us to do, and so we can have the strength and the courage to stand up for God and not be afraid of the world.
Yeah, you know what you're saying, Angelia, is so important, that whatever thing the Lord has us do, it's not just natural, it's spiritual.
Exactly.
And if we fight it just in the natural, we will cave in, we will get discouraged, we will get worn out, will get picked off, and we must be renewed in God day by day. You're yes. absolutely right on that.
Yes, you know, and we need his strength and his courage. We can't do it in our strength and our courage, because then we'll be overwhelmed with fear. You know, fear will take over. And, you know, Jeremiah 6:16 says that stand by the road and look and ask for the eternal path where the good old way is. Then walk in it and you will find rest for your soul. So, you know, we have to ask for directions for God's way and then go that way. And we have to follow his way and not the world's way. And we have to not be afraid. And we have to be imitators of God and copy him, not the world. And it's about God. It's his opinion. It's not our opinion. It's not what we think. It's not what pleases us. And so, but I just think that as Christians, you know, we need to be in the Word every day and night.
Yes.
so that our souls can be influenced to stand up for God and to think the way he thinks.
Yeah, thank you so much for the word of encouragement, and thank you for the good word for all of our listeners. A great reminder, and absolutely right on. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let me explain something else that you deal with these issues, okay? Look, you may want me to be talking about something else. We cover so much ground, so many other issues we discuss here on the Line of Fire, whether it's biblical apologetics. I mean, the whole show focused on the resurrection last week, and then how what we believe influences how we live, or Israel and the Middle East, or general Bible Q&A. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we cover here. But we cannot get away from the fact that this is the great social crisis issue of our time in terms of redefining family, morality, religious freedoms. I'm talking about gay activism. But here's what's it's important to understand this goes on as well. I care about people just like you care about people. I'm not sitting in some ivory tower somewhere just pronouncing theological verdicts and edicts and separated from human beings. I care about people. I interact with people. And my heart goes out to those who've had struggles, who say, look, I'm same-sex attracted. I've always been. I want to follow the Lord. Surely this is the way he made me and he has a mate for me. Or surely there's got to be another way to look at Scripture or you know, just reconsider. Those things on a natural level move me to compassion because I care for those people. I don't look at every person who identifies as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender as some horrifically evil human being who's out to destroy morality. And, you know, I've got to fight against them with everything in my being. No, I would much rather befriend every one of them. I'd much rather sit down and have a meal together and reach out with the love of God. I would much rather ignore this issue entirely and let other people deal with it and just go bring the gospel to India or something. However, God has given me a commission to reach out and resist, reach out to the people with compassion, resist activism with courage, and we can't avoid it in the society today. I mean, friends, are you going to believe me when your kid comes home from school and says, you won't believe what I was taught at school today, Mommy? Are you going to believe me when your denomination changes its view and begins to ordain practicing homosexuals? Are you going to believe me when you get fired from your job because you took issue with publicity for a gay pride event, and when you put up a poster about the Bible, you got fired? I mean, is that the point where you're going to say, wow, you were right? I don't want to be right. My goal is not to be right. My goal is that we do what is right, friends, that we stand up for what is right, that we regain our moral courage. And I know a lot of believers, that they're just not used to the bombardment. They're just not used to the, you know, constantly being told you're on the wrong side, or you're being a mean person, or you're being a bigot, and they don't like it. And we tend to just withdraw. So many believers today withdraw rather than stand for what's right because we don't want the conflict. But I want to share this again. I've read it many times, the words of Martin Luther. If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every part of the truth of God except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at the moment attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all battlefields besides is merely flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. This is, for us, friends, that point. The issue of gay activism the issue of redefining marriage, the issue of changing our children's curriculum, the issue of reinterpreting what the Bible says. It is the great issue staring us in the face that we cannot get away from. The revolution can't wait. The revolution of standing for what's right in Jesus, walking in love, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming evil with good, refusing to be intimidated, refusing to back down from biblical convictions. Come on, friends. In England, a Christian counselor has lost her counseling license because a gay activist came to her posing as a homosexual man who wanted to change. She counseled him that change was possible, etc., and took him through steps scripturally to change. He then took her to court. She's lost her license. What's stopping that from coming here, friends? There have been attempts to pass it already. Wake up time. Wake up time.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. New York Times, new article coming out. Oh, is it a series or just one? I think this is just one. Boys will be boys. This is June 10th. Not in these families. Friends, third chapter of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is entitled Boys Will Be Girls Will Be Boys, Undoing Gender and Teaching Gay is Good in Our Children's Schools. It's just more and more mainstream. Here's about it. Dad brings home a Barbie doll for his son because the son is into dolls, so he's going to treat the boy like a girl, and then they're going to negotiate with what clothes the kids can wear, how can wear girls' clothes to school and kindergarten. New York Times! You know, I shared some of these things a few years ago, and people are like, now it's, oh yeah, boys dress a girl, girl dress a boy, little boy in a girl's body, little girl in a boy's body, vice versa, and yeah, they'll go to school dressed as the opposite sex of what they actually are. Yeah, no big deal. Friends, I'm not laughing to trivialize this. I'm laughing to say we must see the handwriting on the wall. At what point do we recognize that society is being transformed in front of our eyes? When I say the revolution won't wait, I mean it's not time to think about, well, maybe we'll just get people more educated. No, it's time to act. Again, tomorrow's broadcast, 10 revolutionary commitments. We'll start laying out practical things every one of us can do. If you are not on our email list or not a part of our Facebook page, this way you can be in touch with us on a daily basis, find out what's happening, stay updated. AskDrBrown.org on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown. This would be a great time to join us as a torchbearer. Torchbearers support us with $25 or more per month. We send you a new CD every month. We give you 15% discount on our online bookstore, and we give you free access to all of our online classes, which otherwise you have to subscribe to get. So it's a great way for us to bless you in return as you stand with us as a torchbearer. Be a great time to do that. If you'd like to stand with us, here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Kevin in Fort Lauderdale, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
First of all, speaking as a Democrat who's a Christian and heterosexual, but I think there's a greater issue here because it has to be perplexing for a sincere Christian expressing the views that you're expressing on particular that affiliates himself to the Republican Party, two specific reasons, even though it's the party that opposes same-sex marriage, because of the duplicity, which is against the fundamental teachings of Christ, I believe, in terms of the presence of a political activist group like the Log Cabin Republicans, who are extremely influential. And in fact, Ken Mellman was at one time before Michael Steele the chairman of the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't against gayness, the issue of gayness, but just against the duplicity within the philosophy of the Republican Party. That should be a problem for Christians.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, Kevin. If we equate either party with the Christian faith, we're in trouble. Right now, in terms of many key moral issues, say the issue of same-sex marriage, the issue of abortion, the Republicans have a much better track record than the Democrats, but I am not putting my hope in either political party or in any one political candidate, because I recognize there's still a lot of politics, and I recognize that even within the realm of governing, they're not preachers and pastors that are just leading a flock. They're having to govern the entire nation. So what I'm looking for is people of strong moral conviction, biblical values, real leaders. Those are the ones that I want to get behind. And, you know, I fear that there's just, we may be strong on one point, weak on another, a lot of compromise and a lot of mixture. So we got to pray for righteousness to rise, sir. But thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless. Yeah, and just a reminder, and I wanted to take that call as we're urging you in New York to call your senators that are on the fence and to urge them to stand strong for marriage and to vote against same-sex marriage. We are doing that to do what is right. We are doing that to be a moral conscience. We are doing that, as Bishop Joe Matera said, to speak truth to power, to be a prophetic voice, and leaving ultimately all things to God in terms of God rules, God reigns. If people do what's wrong and vote for what's wrong, and just like the, quote, legalizing of Roe v. Wade, of a legalized abortion, I say so-called legalizing or, quote, legalizing because it still is a sinful act in God's sight, no matter what the courts say. We've had many wrong decisions. We've had many unrighteous decisions in our history, many wrong votes. We continue to do what's right. We continue to follow Jesus. My hope is not shattered when people do wrong. My hope is not shattered when the government does wrong. My hope is not shattered when sinful people do sinful things or people have a different view of morality and end up going against the grain of biblical values. I'm not expecting the world to be saved without being saved. In other words, I'm not expecting the world to act saved. I'm not expecting people who don't hold to biblical values to suddenly live by biblical values. But, that doesn't mean we capitulate. That doesn't mean we back down. That doesn't mean we give up. If a wrong vote comes, we continue to speak what is right and what is true, but we create all kinds of problems for ourselves, for our kids, for our grandkids, for our families, for our friends, when we don't stand up for what is right when we have the opportunity. Again, let me encourage all of you listening in the New York area, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. There is a link, City Action Coalition, Bishop Joe Matera's website. There's a link with numbers for the different senators to call, to contact. Encourage them. Vote against same-sex marriage. Uphold traditional marriage, however you want to say it. Just make sure they understand what your point is if you're going to call. And bless them in the name of the Lord and thank them for their service when you do call. Again, if you'd like to help us get A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of political leaders, Christian leaders, academic leaders across the country, for every gift we receive of $100, we will send 5 books to these different leaders, get them into hands. We're compiling a list now, which will ultimately be thousands of people. But for every $100 that comes in, we'll send out 5 books. So if you'd like to make a tax-free contribution, number to call, tax-free, tax-exempt, taxes, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. We also have a special resource offer that ties in with today's broadcast, my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, and my 4-night class, It's Time to Rock the Boat, on CD for MP3 listening. Together, postage paid for $25, it saves, I don't know, 40-50% off the regular price. It'll really edify you, touch you, impact you. Give us a call to order that at 1-800-278-9978. Again, 1-800-278-9978. Here is my bottom line for today. The real question is not, what are the polls saying? The question is, will we, God's people, do what is right? The fact is, as followers of Jesus, we are called to swim against the tide of popular opinion, go against the grain of popular morality, rather than do what is convenient or expedient. When history looks back at us, when the throne of God looks back at us, what will the verdict be? Friends, it really is time for a revolution, a Jesus kind of revolution. And one thing about this revolution, it won't wait. It can't wait.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've all heard about the frog in the boiling water, right? You know, when the frog is in the boiling water, how does it get in boiling water? Why didn't it jump out? Well, because the temperature was turned up little by little by little by little by little. When the temperature got hot enough, then the frog realized, but at that point it was too late. And we've always heard, I mean, I've heard it for years as a believer, and I've preached it, that we're like the frog in boiling water. The thing that concerns me today is that the water has been turned up so hot, and the temperature is so extreme, and the steam is wafting everywhere because the pot is boiling, and the frog still doesn't seem to get it. I trust a lot more of us will get it today. Thank you, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The revolution won't wait. What do I mean by that? All right, let me back my way into that and read you a couple of quotes. All right, some delightful quotes here. This is Academy Awards, February 22nd, 2009. Sean Penn receiving the Oscar for Best Actor in his portrayal of the murdered gay activist Harvey Milk, and Dustin Lance Black of the same movie Milk won the Oscar for Best Screenwriter. They both used their acceptance speeches to bash those of opposing views, especially those who supported Proposition 8 in California, meaning the marriage amendment, that marriage is the union of a man and woman. Now here are these famous actors, screenwriters, media elite who are going to bash those who say marriage is the union of a man and woman. So, according to Black, if Harvey had not been taken from us 30 years ago, I think he would want me to say to all the gay and lesbian kids out there tonight who have been told that they're less than by the churches, by the government, by their families, that you're beautiful, wonderful creatures of value, that no matter what anyone tells you, God does love you, and that very soon, I promise you, you'll have equal rights federally across this great nation of ours. Thank you, God, for Harvey Milk. Sean Penn, after his opening comments, "You commie, homo-loving sons of guns," this is what he said: "I think it's a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect on their great shame, and their shame in their grandchildren's eyes. If they continue that support, we've got to have equal rights for everyone. Shame on you for saying marriage is what it has always been and what it has been intended by God to be, the union of a man and woman. Shame on you." And then Mark Ruffalo, who plays the sperm donor for a lesbian couple in the 2010 movie The Kids Are All Right, this is what he had to say about those who oppose same-sex marriage. "It's the last dying, kicking, screaming, caged animal response to a world that is changing, a world that's leaving a lot of those old, bigoted, unaccepting views behind. It's over. Those against it are very tricky, and they're using really dark ways to promote their ideas." Both of those quotes are found, by the way, all three, in A Queer Thing Happened to America, the chapter on media. So here's the real question, friends. Here's the real question before us. As every single day in the news, the push continues, and as our president for the third straight year has declared June to be Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Month, and he and the First Lady even joining in the It Gets Better campaign to encourage gay and lesbian young people in their sexual orientation, it's time for gut check, friends. Are we doing the right thing? Are we holding to biblical values? Do we believe the truth? Or are we on the wrong side of this issue and about to be consigned to the dung heap of history? Stay with me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is great to be with you on the Line of Fire broadcast, and we want to focus on Jesus' revolution now and why we must have it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org, or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. In my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, which came out in the year 2000, I wrote it in a very intense six-week period from the end of 99 into the beginning of 2000, over 300 pages pouring out in 6 weeks' time. I wrote then that dissatisfaction was rising. I wrote then that a crisis was coming to our culture and that another revolution was at hand. We had the counterculture revolution of the 60s, that another revolution was at hand. It would either be hell-bent or heaven-sent. Let me tell you plainly that a hell-bent revolution has been unfolding in our society for some years now. From the assault on religious beliefs, from the new atheists, to the assault on morality and family from a host of different angles and levels, to the goals of gay activism getting so profoundly widespread that, oh, it's remarkable to watch this happen in front of our eyes. It's remarkable to watch the shift in opinion. It's remarkable to watch how people's views just change, and it's like, oh, okay, I used to think this was wrong. Now I'm told I can't think that way anymore. Okay. It's almost like a spell on people. Now, of course, I say those words. Brown believes that gay activists are putting spells on people. No, I didn't say that. I said it's almost like a spell on people. Just, why'd you change your views? Well, we should be nice. Well, of course we should be nice. But why are we redefining marriage? Well, we should be nice. We have to be nice to everybody. Yeah, but why do we want to redefine marriage? Marriage is this is not like something up for grabs. Yeah, let's try. I'm going to try different motor oil on my car. Or I'm going to switch from margarine to butter in these recipes. No, this is foundation of human society, marriage. The one thing that we've always had, the one thing that, and ultimately male-female union that's produced every human being that's ever been born on one level or another, the male-female participation, ingredients, however you want to put it. It's the only reason any of us are here. Now we're going to experiment with that? Look, I remind you, friends, that earlier this year, just April, when I was going to do a debate on the University of Central Florida campus, a campus of 60,000 students, not a single group would sponsor it. Nobody, from political groups to Christian groups, nobody would sponsor it, considered too controversial. What was the debate with another professor, a philosophy professor, on the subject, same-sex marriage, should it be legal? What a perfect thing to have on a college campus. Do you know that we were unable to have a door open with campuses in Maryland, Virginia, D.C. areas, with campuses in New England area, with campuses to date in Atlanta area? And this was the only campus that opened up in Florida, and it only opened up in Florida because a professor booked a room working with a Christian ministry, an outside Christian ministry. Otherwise, no one on campus would actually book it, and there was great opposition to it. And there were university vice presidents involved in the decision for the event to go ahead. There were gay activists. We have their correspondence and emails saying they're going to shut it down, do what they can to shut it down, and on and on. We were only allowed to have it with the presence of four policemen. I'm talking about armed cops. Not some local security firm where you show up with a billy club. I'm talking about armed policemen, the university police. We were only allowed to go ahead with the debate with the presence of four university policemen there. This is extraordinary. This is an extraordinary assault on freedoms of speech and freedoms of religion and freedoms of conviction. In other words, you hold to certain views. You can't. Not allowed to. Not allowed to anymore. This is happening in front of our eyes, friends, and a lot of Christians are still thinking, yeah, well, I don't really think it concerns you. It concerns you. It concerns you. It's like taxes, pay me now or pay me later. These things are confronting us on such an extraordinary level that the younger generation has a very, very different view than the older generation on these issues. And it's not because truth has changed. So we have to do a real serious gut check. And we have to ask ourselves, am I believing what's right scripturally? Is there any new evidence, any new interpretation, any new archaeological evidence, linguistic evidence, interpretive evidence, anything on any level that would show us how to read the Bible differently so as to understand that homosexual practice is accepted by God? The answer is no. Okay, do we have any compelling reason then to redefine marriage? I know that there are many same-sex couples that love each other and are devoted to each other. Some of them are raising kids. Do we have any compelling reason, though, for the state to redefine marriage? No. So why are we retreating? Because it's unpopular? Because too much pressure? It's too difficult? Because we don't want to be disliked? Because we want to be popular? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I was talking to a pastor friend, shared this the first hour as well, a dear friend of mine ministering in California, a man with a heart to stand up and do what's right, a man who wants to make a difference, a man who's not running away from the issues. We were talking about meetings we're potentially going to have later this year, and we'll be out at his church and then gather pastors and leaders together and talk about what's happening with gay activism, etc. Remember, this is California that's already voted twice to uphold marriage as the union of a man and woman, and that's in constant battle over this with these radical school bills that are already in place in California, and Harvey Milk Day, celebrating the late Harvey Milk, gay activists in their schools. Okay, so this is not like a new subject for our friends in California. And he said, you know, maybe we could have a meeting, get a lot more pastors, leaders together, give them an understanding of what's happening, and then maybe next year come and do some campus debates and things. I said, man, it's too late for that. It's too late for that. No, it's not too late to inform and equip, but we have to start the doing part now. We also have, we must begin to raise the standard of truth in the public square. Listen, if you're on a college campus, you're a student, you're part of a Christian group, see what you can do to open a door for us to come in. I will personally come in and do a lecture or hold a public debate on any issue covered in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and by God's grace, we'll do it in a way that glorifies Jesus and in a spirit that you'd feel good about, because it'll be in keeping with the spirit of Jesus without compromise, walking in love at the same time, grace and truth. You're a pastor, leader, get some kind of neutral venue in a place where non-believers will come, in a place where the media will recognize what's happening. And let's get these issues out in the public square. It's not just time to be informed about them. How many more specials are there going to be on TV telling us about the latest gay-related suicide and how this person was victimized by their Christian upbringing? How many more of those before we realize, oh, public opinion's being shifted, and it's only going in one way? Here, this article from Fox News, June 12th, some gay rights foes claim they now are bullied. Here's a list of recent incidents prompting some conservatives to complain of intolerance or political bullying. Olympic gold medal gymnast Peter Vidmar stepped down as chief of mission for the 2012 U.S. Olympic team in May following controversy over his opposition to gay marriage. Vidmar, a Mormon, had publicly supported Proposition 8, the voter-approved law passed in 2008 that restricted marriage in California to one man and one woman. After coming under fire from gay rights groups in April, the Atlanta-based law firm King & Spalding pulled out of an agreement with Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives to defend their federal ban on same-sex marriage. In New York, State Senator Ruben Diaz, a Democrat from the Bronx, New York, contends that he has received death threats because he opposes legislation to legalize same-sex marriage. The alleged threats were cited last week by the New York State Catholic Conference, which also opposes gay marriage. "We are unjustly called haters and bigots by those who have carefully framed their advocacy strategy," wrote the conference's executive director, Richard Barnes. "The entire campaign to enact same-sex marriage is conducted under a banner of acceptance. Yet behind that banner of tolerance is another campaign of intimidation, threats, and ugliness." Apple recently withdrew two iPhone apps from its App Store after complaints and petition campaigns by gay rights supporters. And, check this out, Alan Chambers of Exodus International said, "We have seen individuals, ministries, and even private corporations that dare to hold the biblical worldview on sexuality bullied into a corner." But Evan Wolfson, a gay activist lawyer, said the Exodus app deserved to be removed. Quote, "They were peddling something that has been repudiated as crackpot quackery." In other words, the idea that someone can actually change their sexual orientation by God's help and grace is crackpot quackery. And Apple did a good job of removing the app. Friends, we're talking about censorship, loss of religious freedoms, loss of religious rights. Our response as God's people, as Jesus' people, cannot wait for a convenient moment. Now's the time to stand to its right. Tomorrow's broadcast, I'm going to go through 10 revolutionary commitments, and then Wednesday, what the church can learn from the gay and lesbian community.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what do you think? Throw in the towel, capitulate, too late, too little, too late, consolidate our losses, get on with something else, and quit standing against the flood tide of gay activism, or do what's right, honor the Lord, love people, speak the truth, regardless of cost or consequence. What do you do? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. All right, let me tell you where we're going today, this week. I want to share a few more things that kind of pushed me to where I am at the moment. I've been burdened about these things for so many years, but just a recent little push, an intensifying of things in my own heart. I want to share that with you. And then tomorrow's broadcast, 10 revolutionary commitments. I'm going to talk about 10 things that every follower of Jesus can do. And if we'll do these things, incorporate them into our lives overall, I believe we will lead revolutionary lives. I believe we will have a revolutionary impact on our society. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, we don't fight the way the world fights. We don't use carnal, earthly weapons. Oh, we are in this world, and because we're in this world, we vote. Because we're in this world, we buy and sell. Because we're in this world, we do different things that people in this world do. But we don't fight the way the world fights. Our battles are ultimately spiritual. People hear us talk about terms like revolution and holy war. You know, John Bunyan's classic book, Holy War. It was a subtitle of my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War. And they think, what are you, violent, angry? No. It's the exact opposite. It's the Jesus way. The Jesus way of put down your sword, take up your cross. The Jesus way of bless those who curse you. The Jesus way of if your enemy hungers, feed him. The Jesus way of go against the grain, swim against the tide for what is right rather than compromise with culture. So tomorrow's broadcast, I want to lay out 10 revolutionary commitments. And then on Wednesday, a really, really eye-opening stuff we're going to share. I've had pastors tell me that every church in America needs to hear this. Every pastor needs to get the material. So we'll get it out on the air, God willing, on Wednesday, what the church can learn from the gay and lesbian community. I mean, it'll be real eye-opening, and ultimately, in terms of the principles we'll deduce, biblically based. So we want to equip, we want to strengthen. I, friends, I can get burdened when I see what's happening in society. And I'm told constantly, people will attack me online or write to me or speak to me and say, hey, look, throw in the towel, it's over. Your side has lost. Your side has lost the moral ground. Your side has lost the moral issue here. And America is going in one direction. And just as America repudiated slavery and America repudiated segregation and America repudiated the oppression of women, the same way America is repudiating your bigoted, old-fashioned, homophobic views. So best you can do is quit while you're ahead. Otherwise, you're just going to be looked at the same way as we look at Nazi skinheads and KKK and white supremacists and these other hate groups. That's where you are. So go ahead, be my guest, and disqualify yourself and disgrace yourself. That's what we're told all the time. You have to really ask yourself, are you sure about what you're doing? Are you sure about what you believe? I mean, certainly, if you live long enough, you're going to be around people who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, who are great people. As far as people go, great people. You know, I fly all the time. A large percentage of male flight attendants are gay. It's not a secret. It's openly known. So I'm constantly being served by gay male flight attendants. And, I mean, many of them are just really nice and super helpful and accommodating and friendly and, you know, chat here and there, whatever. I don't have animosity towards people. And whatever I could do to make that man's life better and to see him happier as an individual, I would love to do. And in no way do I want to inflict suffering or pain on him. That, however, has nothing to do with what the Bible says is right and wrong. The fact that somebody's nice doesn't change what the Bible says. The fact that you may have your uncle and his partner have been together for years and years and they're very caring and they would love to be married, I'm sympathetic to that, but I'm not going to rewrite the foundations of society and redefine the most foundational institution of all that God has established and that society needs because two people are committed to each other. The implications, the floodgates we open are massive. But you have to wrestle these things through because I'm telling you, friends, the pressure is intensifying mega rapidly. We'll coin a new word or word cluster. Mega rapidly at hyperspeed. And it wasn't an awakening because I'm in the midst of this all the time, but just last week, one thing in the news after another, after another, after another, and then this media report and this, it's like, boom, don't people see the intensity with which this is coming and how quickly this is shifting? I'm talking about from month to month to month, things shifting, and we're being told it's over, give up, throw in the towel. Now's the time for us to strengthen our moral resolve. Now is the time for us to ask, hey, what do I believe and why do I believe it and what am I standing for and what am I willing to stand for and am I willing to do what's right regardless of cost or consequences? Friends, the revolution won't wait. I want to give you an opportunity to partner with us in a unique way. I'm convinced that if we get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, into the hands of key leaders, it will make a difference. Into the hands of political leaders, into the hands of Christian leaders, into the hands of academic leaders and others. The reports we're getting as the first wave of books has gone out is very, very encouraging and heartening. And we are now getting lists from leaders in different parts of the country. Okay, I'm meeting with 300 people here. I can get the book in their hands. Or I've got a list of state legislators. I can get the book into their hands. So what we're asking is this. Everyone that can make a contribution of $100 to the Line of Fire, we're going to use that money to send for every $100 five copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of key leaders. So you'll be sponsoring getting the book into the hands of five key leaders when we edit the books and postage. It's, I don't know, $140, $150 worth of books. For every gift, tax-exempt gift of 100 or tax credit. I forget the right way to say it. I said it three different times today, but you know what I mean. For your gift of $100, we'll send five copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America to key leaders in America for every $100 that comes in. Here's the number to call if you'd like to make a contribution, a stand with us. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Say, I'd like to sponsor five books, or if you want to give $1,000 and sponsor 50 books, or in fact, if you do that, we'll get even more books out, okay? But the goal is to get these books into the maximum number of hands of key leaders so that it will help awaken the conscience of the nation. With God, all things are possible. Here's the number to call again, 1-800-278-9978. If you'd like to become a torchbearer, monthly supporter to hold our hands up, same number to call. And together, friends, we are making a difference. 1-800-278-9978. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
How would you define revolution? How would you define it? You hear it sung about every day on the Line of Fire broadcast. You hear me introduced as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. How would you define revolution? Revolution is radical, dramatic, sweeping change. Is it not? Radical, dramatic, sweeping change. Revolution is out with the old, in with the new. Revolution is overthrow the status quo. Revolution is getting rid of what is supposed to be corrupt and bad and replacing it with what is supposed to be good and ethical and right. Now, for the most part, human revolutions replace one bad thing with another bad thing, or they replace a bad thing using violent means to uphold something else that can only be upheld with violence. And hence, we constantly need earthly revolutions because they're not God's revolution. There is what we call Jesus' revolution. Jesus transforming people, people transforming society. The Great Commission, let's go change the world together. That's what Jesus is saying to us. The kingdom of God impacting the kingdom of this world through love, through truth, through grace, not through the means of the world, but through the means that Jesus has established. And friends, there has never been a more urgent time in my lifetime for Jesus' revolution than right now. And this revolution really can't wait. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org, or Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, there is one entire chapter called Big Brother is Watching and He Really is Gay. And it's quite an eye-opening, shocking chapter where whether we're looking at universities, college campuses, business place, the world of religion, whether we're looking in America, England, Canada, Australia, it's quite a striking, shocking, eye-opening chapter. I recently came across a quote from, well, someone that you'd say would be an unexpected person to be warning people in England about intolerance, warning people about gay-related intolerance. He's a historian. His name is David Starkey. Listen to what he had to say.
I am gay and I'm atheist, but I have profound doubts about this case. It seems to me that what we're doing is producing a tyrannous new morality that is every bit as oppressive as the old. When I grew up, being gay was very difficult. It was frowned upon, and if you signaled you were, I remember vividly, and it's one of the things that's altered my politics more than anything else, being moved on by police on Victoria Station, being in a gay club when it was busted, and the whole thing. I've been there. But I am very, very concerned that a new sort of liberal morality is coming in, which, as I said, is as intolerant, is as oppressive, as intrusive into family life. For example, the couple who were running, we've had a lot of cases like this. There were the couple who were running some sort of hotel, who were Christians, and didn't want a gay couple to sleep there. Now, the way to do that is not to ban them, not to fine them. It is for them simply to put up what seems to me to be a quite proper notice in a small, privately run hotel, which says, we are Christians, and this is what we believe. And, you know, otherwise, we are, as I said, we're producing a new tyranny.
Aha. So here is a gay atheist in England warning about a new tyranny that is being produced. And this tyranny is not just coming in the way of restricting religious freedoms. It is coming in a way that if you dare to differ, it's not just a matter of freedom. But if you dare to differ, hold to an opposing belief, you will be ridiculed, branded, cast out. And sadly, many believers are choosing to do it rather than what is right.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me share with you from a new article that we just posted on crosswalk.com. Are we on the wrong side of history again? 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in, 866-348-7884. Here's what I wrote, just posted moments ago. It's time for a gut check for conservative Christians in America. If we are on the right side of one of the greatest social, moral, and spiritual issues of our time, then we need to dig deep, hold our ground, strengthen our commitment, and redouble our efforts, regardless of cost or consequence. But if we are on the wrong side of this issue, then we had best throw in the towel before we lose all credibility and further damage the reputation of the Lord. The issue of which I speak is that of gay rights, or more broadly, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender rights. And on an almost daily basis, the mainstream media assures us of two things. One, just as many conservative Christians are on the wrong side of slavery, segregation, and women's rights, we are on the wrong side of the gay rights issue today. Two, it is futile to oppose gay activism any longer since the battle has already been won and Americans have embraced equality and tolerance. Put another way, those who continue to argue that homosexual practice is sinful or that same-sex couples should not have the right to marry will soon be consigned to the dung heap of public opinion, there to join past generations of slave traders, misogynists, and members of the KKK. Is this true? Again, reading from my article just posted, Are We on the Wrong Side of History Again? Just posted on crosswalk.com. To be sure, we're living in times of stunning social transition. For the third straight year, President Barack Obama has declared June to be Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month, also commemorating the Stonewall Riots of June 1969. In New York, both Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bloomberg are making an aggressive attempt to legalize same-sex marriage now. One of the country's most prestigious law firms, King & Spalding, dropped the United States government as its client under pressure from gay activists after agreeing to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. Media outlets have praised the students of a Florida high school for selecting a cross-dressing teenage boy as their prom queen. You heard that right. Media outlets have praised the students of a Florida high school for selecting a cross-dressing teenage boy as their prom queen. Major League Baseball teams have now joined the It Gets Better campaign, designed to encourage gay and lesbian youth and teenagers in their sexual orientation. And It Gets Better commercials, sponsored by Google and even featuring a word of encouragement from Pixar's Woody of Toy Story fame, have been broadcast during NBA playoff games. The Southern Poverty Law Center has designated some of America's most respected family ministries as hate groups because of their alleged spreading of misinformation regarding homosexuality. When a Chick-fil-A store in Pennsylvania donated brownies and sandwiches to a pro-family organization that opposed same-sex marriage, college students began to call for boycotts of Chick-fil-A on their campuses. At the same time, major corporations pour millions of dollars into gay activist organizations and are widely praised for their philanthropy. And the list goes on and on. Is it time for us to capitulate? Are we on the wrong side of history once again? Certainly not. It is true that there are many friendly, kind, hardworking, conscientious LGBT people, and they deserve to be treated with civility and respect. But when it comes to biblical truth, there is not a single argument that has been presented or a single discovery that has been made historically or linguistically or archaeologically or exegetically that would cause us to alter our understanding that God's word opposes homosexual practice. And it is true that there are many devoted, loving, same-sex couples, but there is still not the slightest reason to redefine marriage, society's most fundamental social institution, nor for that matter, has any proponent of same-sex marriage provided an adequate answer to the most basic of questions, namely, what's so special about the number two if marriage is not the union of a man and a woman? When it comes to recent polls that indicate that a majority of Americans, especially among younger Americans, now believe same-sex marriage should be legal, we must remember that polls do not tell us what is right. They simply report public opinion. Why in the world should Christian leaders bow down to polls when it comes to determining morality? We must also bear in mind that other recent polls indicate that most Americans, quite remarkably, believe that more than 25% of the population is gay as opposed to the correct figure, which is closer to 3%, with Americans under 30 years of age putting the figure close to 33%. This is an almost unbelievably inaccurate picture, thanks to TV and the media, no doubt, and one that certainly influences public perception towards LGBT people. The fact is that followers of Jesus are called to swim against the tide of popular opinion and go against the grain of popular morality rather than do what is convenient or expedient. And so, the real question is not whether we are on the right side of history. The question is, will we do what is right, or will we cave in to culture? Friends, why do we care what polls say in terms of determining morality? My fellow leaders, pastors, teachers, leaders in different spheres of government, business, media, academia, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, can I ask you, why do the polls get into your head? Why do they influence your thinking? Are we called to be popular, or are we called to be obedient? Are we called to make people happy, or are we called to please the Lord? Are we called to do what's convenient, or are we called to do what's correct? Well, I listen to polls if it's just to gain information about what people think about various issues, but that isn't determining morality or determining what is right conduct and right behavior for us as believers. But it's my brother, you're taking a popular tactic. The goal is not to be popular. The goal is to glorify the Lord. I'm convinced if we'll honor the Lord and do what's right, he'll bless the work. I'm convinced if we honor the Lord and do what's right, he'll raise up support. I'm convinced if we honor the Lord and do what's right, we may go through difficulty. We may be reviled by a generation, but history will ultimately recognize the rightness of what we have done. And more importantly, when we stand before God, he will commend us. And perhaps even more importantly, forever we'll see the good fruit of the choices that we made. There is a Methodist preacher named W.E. Sangster, and he had a quote that I found in Leonard Ravenhill's famous book, Why Revival Tarries. And Sangster said this: "How shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full array, and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride?" It's something to think about. Is it that we have been so influenced by the culture that we've lost our moral bearings? Is it that we don't want people to reject us? Is it that we're afraid if we stand up for what's right, then when we tell people about Jesus, they won't want to hear about Jesus? Could it be as simple as the fact that we've lost our moral courage? Now is the time, I'll say it again, for a real serious gut check, and for us to really ask ourselves, why do I believe what I believe? Why am I doing what I'm doing? If you're able to join me tomorrow, I'm going to lay out 10 revolutionary commitments, 10 things that we as followers of Jesus can do that will make a difference, so our lives will be in alignment with the Lord and that we will bear fruit. And these are things that are accessible to each of us. And then Wednesday's broadcast, What the Church Can Learn from the Gay and Lesbian Community, which you'll find really, really eye-opening. Now look, I'm very happy to have you call in, and you can differ with me. You can say, brother, this is hurting our gospel witness, or I think this is the wrong emphasis or the wrong direction. I'm happy to talk it through with you, because I'm not screaming, yelling about this. I'm just convicted by the Lord. I'm convicted by love for people. Oh, don't you think there's part of me that wants to step away from issues like this? Oh, I don't mind controversy. I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus, right? There's going to be controversy with that. I was involved in a extraordinary revival movement in the States in the late 90s, considered to be the longest-running local church revival in American history. You can't have revival without controversy. I don't mind the controversy if it's for the gospel. I don't want controversy because of my own foolishness, but if it's for the gospel, I embrace it. But don't you think there are easier issues to deal with? Don't you think it's easier to write a book and have a publisher send you a contract and say, okay, great, we're excited about getting your book out, and they have a campaign to get it out, and they're backing it and so on, as opposed to you have to self-publish it because people are afraid to touch it because it's too controversial? And that the moment you go near this subject, the moment you go near it, people are going to vilify you and hate you and mock you, and even friends and supporters will tell you that if you stand up for these things, it's ministry suicide. There are a lot of easier roads to travel. No, I don't feel like any kind of martyr doing this. I'm trying to honor the Lord. And here, let me say this on national radio for everyone to hear. As a follower of Jesus, going against the grain of gay activism today and going against what is politically correct, I think I have it much, 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 much easier. As a heterosexual follower of Jesus here in America, I think I have it much, 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 much easier than your average gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified person. Absolutely. The last thing in my mind is that I'm some kind of martyr because I had to self-publish my book, or because people attack me online, or because here and there they'll get really nasty and ugly. Or I've been a martyr? It's just a consequence of standing up for what's right in this issue, and of course people are going to treat me a certain way. But it grieves me. It pains me when I see, a generation of fellow believers losing moral courage. It grieves me, friends.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
According to gay activist lawyer Evan Wolfson, president of the advocacy group Freedom to Marry, they, meaning you and me, lost the argument on gay people. In other words, saying that homosexual practice was immoral or wrong, as if there's something just wrong with gay people in general. They've lost the argument on gay people. Now they are losing the argument on marriage. Diversions, scare tactics, and this playing the victim are all they have left. So this is the claim that there's no truth to our position. There's no morality to our position. There's no rationality to our position. All we have left are diversions, scare tactics, and this playing the victim. Mr. Wolfson, we're not playing the victim. When people get kicked out of school programs and fired from their jobs because they take issue with gay activism, we're not playing the victim when people refuse to publish or touch your stuff or host a debate on campus for fear of controversy, when people stop giving and step back from right causes because of fear of boycott. Nobody's playing the victim, sir. Friends, the revolution. Can't wait. Standing for what is right, doing what is right, honoring the Lord in this critical issue. Now is the time, not tomorrow, not next year. Oh, well, yes, tomorrow as well as today. But today we must take hold. 866-34-TRUTH. Todd in Tampa, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Doc, excellent job. You know, you're touching on a lot of, you know, subjects here of whether, you know, everyone has gay friends or they know gay people. And some, they're some of the nicest, kindest, hardworking people you'll ever meet. It doesn't change the fact, okay, that it's against the will. It's unholy. Okay. Now, and I know a paid lawyer doesn't care about holiness. He doesn't care about, he's happy about a billable hour. Okay, that's all he cares about. And so whether it's gay or lesbian or homosexuality or abortion, they care about a billable hour. They don't care about righteousness and holiness. And that is what's at stake in the United States of America today. We have a leader, in my opinion, who's unholy, who has no fruit on the vine, and he's leading, calling himself something that he's not. Okay, and the American people see through that. Okay, they know the truth. And they see through that, and the American people, 70% are you know, believe in man and woman being married, probably 80%, but the media would have you believe differently. So what I'm saying to the American people is, whether you're praying for Jesus or you're advocating or you're helping somebody, because, you know, everyone knows someone that's gay, and you love them and you appreciate them, you respect them, and you're trying to, you know, let them break free of the bondage of homosexuality. But the truth is, America, the people, we are fighting against, you know, principalities and powers, just like you had said, and we're teetering right here. If Obama gets reelected, which would be the worst thing for America, and a disgrace to the Lord, because nobody is standing up for righteousness. Okay, that would be worse. That's terrible.
Tom, let me just jump in real
jump
quick.
In,
yeah, just because time
ahead.
Is short here.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, let me just say this. The big issue is for us as followers of Jesus to do what's right. In other words, yeah, we're going to vote. and yeah, we're going to seek to have influence wherever we can, but we must stand for what is right and live what is right and quit compromise. Look, it has everything to do with loving God and loving people. We're going to be cast a certain way, but we must stand and do what's right and just accept, okay, we got to go against the grain here. We're going to go against the grain to honor the Lord, but we're always called to go against the grain. Hey, man, thanks for weighing in. Todd in Creedmoor, North Carolina, a little short on time, but please dive right in. Oh, can't quite hear. Looked like he was still with us. All right. Let me see if I can get to a couple more calls really quickly. 866-34-TRUTH. We are right now getting a list of key leaders all over America, political leaders, Christian leaders, where we have friends who have contact with these different folks, and they can get into their hand a queer thing happened to America. In other words, it's not just going to be sent somewhere in the mail. No, we know we can actually get them into the hands of these different leaders. For every gift we receive of $100 to the Line of Fire, we will then send 5 copies of Queer Thing Happened to America to these different leaders. So these will actually get into the hands of key leaders, 5 copies for every $100 that comes in. If you'd like to stand with us, it's a unique way to sponsor books and help do something revolutionary. Number to call is 1-800-278-9978. If you'd like to become a monthly torchbearer, which would be awesome because together we're making an amazing impact. Things really are happening as we stand together. 1-800-278-9978. Oscar in Glendale, Arizona. Time is short, so please dive right in.
Hey, how's it going? My question is basically, if Christians are opposed to homosexuality based on the Bible, shouldn't you guys also reject women speaking in churches?
If you're serious about the question, by all means, Oscar, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on Coalition of Conscience. You can watch a whole video where I lay out these issues in terms of what the Bible says about women, what the Bible says about homosexual practice. This much is clear. You have great women leaders in the Bible like Deborah. You have women actively involved in the ministry of Jesus. And you have whole sections of Scripture like Proverbs 31 praising women, whereas every reference to homosexual practice in the Bible is negative. 100 times out of 100, negative, to the point that it says that those who practice these things cannot be part of God's kingdom. Whereas you do have debates about if a woman prophesies publicly, in what structure should it be, etc. But women speaking publicly is seen clearly as accepted in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. But if you want to dive in more on that, Oscar, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Coalition of Conscience and Resources. You can watch the whole video for free on the subject. If you differ, drop us a line. We'll talk about it. All right, friends, we are out of time. Tomorrow's broadcast, 10 Revolutionary Commitments. I'm going to talk about 10 things that we can each do as followers of Jesus to live revolutionary lives and to have revolutionary impacts. We have a special resource package today, my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, and a 4-night class I did called It's Time to Rock the Boat on MP3, on CD. Together, $25 postage paid, so that's a savings of 40-50% off the norm. The book and the entire class, $25 postage paid, our Revolution resource package to fuel your fires today. Number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And again, remember, if you want to sponsor giving A Queer Thing Happened to America, get it into the hands of key leaders across the nation, for every $100 we receive, we'll send 5 copies to get into the hands, directly into the hands of influential leaders in America. I'll say it once more. Together, we are making a difference. My bottom line, as followers of Jesus, we must put our roots down deep in God, deep in His Word. So as culture shifts, as the media bombards us, as the world confronts us, as Satan tempts us, we will not be moved.